It's time for From the Short Grass with Trey Shapp, a golf podcast for those who love golf, struggle with golf, and just like to enjoy the outdoors and fellowship with friends, all while chasing a ball around trying to put it in a 4 1/4 inch diameter hole. From the Short Grass is brought to you by Stevens Incorporated, an independent financial services firm with the freedom to focus on what matters most. And by Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels. We partner with you to deliver high-yield results by managing, developing, and investing in top-quality hospitality assets. And now, from the Short Grass, here is your host, Trey Shapp.
Welcome to another edition of From the Short Grass. I am your host, Trey Shapp. Did you get a chance to catch the Players' Championship over the weekend? Scottie Scheffler goes into the final round trailing by 5 shots, and then he goes out on the TPC Stadium course, eagles the fourth hole, the par four, with a 2 from the fairway, birdies 5, birdies 8 and 9 to shoot 31 on the front side, backs that up with back-to-back birdies on 11 and 12, and then birdied the par 5 16th to shoot a bogey-free 8 under par 64 and take a lead of minus 20 into the club. House, but he still had some chasers coming after him. Brian Harman, Xander Schauffele, and Wyndham Clark all had a chance, either birdie on 17, the difficult par 3, or birdie on 18. None of them could get it done. Wyndham Clark actually came the closest as his birdie putt on 18 basically went halfway down into the hole but lipped out. That would have forced a playoff with Scottie Scheffler. Scottie Scheffler pockets $4.5 million for the comeback victory at the Players' Championship. He also makes history. He is the first to repeat in the 50 years since the inception of the Players' Championship. He won it last year, and now he's won it this year. And he's also won back-to-back PGA Tour stops, winning the Bay Hill Invitational and the Players' Championship. Scottie Scheffler has his 2024 season off to a great start. Speaking of great starts, when you wake up in the morning, your starts are better when you've stayed at a Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel property. How do you do that? Find one of their properties on the web. Go to their website, bphotels.com, find one of their outstanding properties, and book it. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group, Matthew Allen, Blair Allen, they know how to manage hotel properties. Coming up on this edition of From the Short Grass, I sit down with Little Rock wrestling coach Neil Arisman. His Trojans just finished runner-up at the Pac-12 Championships, just behind Arizona State and ahead of Oregon State, Stanford, Cal Poly, and CSU Bakersfield. Little Rock wrestling will be well represented at the NCAA Championships in Kansas City. Who would have thought wrestlers love the game of golf? Hey, golf is a sport for everyone. And yes, Neil loves the game of golf. In fact, his son is playing the game now. I don't know if he can beat Neil, but he might be able to. We'll find out more from him coming up in this episode of From the Short Grass. That's coming up when we come back. Stay with us.
Heading to El Dorado to check out some live music or to play Mystic Creek? Stay at the Haywood, the only boutique hotel in the middle of downtown and the Murphy Arts District. If you are spending a weekend in Hot Springs, make plans now at the Marriott Courtyard close to Lake Hamilton and Oaklawn. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group manages both of these fine properties, and you will rest easy knowing that your every need is taken care of. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels, on the web at bphotels.com.
Strength is measured not by the number of accounts. Strength is placing value on relationships. It's having the vision and the guts to invest in growth. It's the commitment to responsibly manage your money. At Stevens, we believe that our strengths build success, not only for us, but for our clients. Stevens, member NYSE, SIPC.
Welcome back to this edition of From the Short Grass. I am your host, Trey Shapp. Neil Arisman was named head wrestling coach of the Little Rock Trojans on June 20th, 2018 by then athletic director Chase Conk. Since that time, he's been building towards a Pac-12 championship. Fell just short this year, finishing second, but has the eyes on the NCAAs, where he has several wrestlers competing. And there's no doubt in my mind he's going to keep building this program and make it one of the best in the country. It's already on the national scene. There's no question about that. But Neil also loves the game of golf, and so I enjoyed my sit-down with Neil Arisman. On the tee, Neil Arisman.
Coach Neil Arisman, welcome to From the Short Grass. Man, your wrestling program here at Little Rock has just skyrocketed. Has it not?
I mean, if you looked, we said it 2 years ago, we won one duel. And if you put that in perspective, it's incredible what we've done. Mm-hmm. And that's, I'm not saying that from like an arrogant standpoint. I'm saying that from like, if you really took a step back and you were to look at the trajectory of where we've come. Our first year, we didn't win a duel outside of Division I. You know, we beat a D3 team. Next year, we won one division duel, and candidly, they were dropping the program and had half their lineup in. So we had kind of already won the duel, you know, before it started. We win one match, we win. And then the next year, we only win two duels, and it's like, man, where did this come from? Last year, we won four or five, and now we got 16. Well, I think that if you go back and you were able to compile all of my interviews and all of my conversations, whether it be on the radio or you know, wrestling outlet medias, or even, you know, people like you, that are just interested, that you'll see, like, it's coming. I kept saying, like, we're so close.
Yeah.
Like, I can feel it. So to say that I'm, like, utterly surprised about what we're doing, no. But when you take a look back at the actual real picture, yeah, I mean, it surprises the fire out of me.
I remember when the Little Rock women's basketball team was playing in the NCAA tournament in Tallahassee against Florida State, and Chase Conk was the AD at the time. And he had to go to, I believe, Cleveland, Ohio, is where the NCAA championships were that year, because they were going up there because the announcement was being made that Little Rock is going to start having a wrestling program. And it goes back to what Greg Hatcher has envisioned for wrestling inside the state of Arkansas, and to have it here at Little Rock, and then to find you as the head coach. I mean, are you, like, thankful that you're here, or is it one of those situations where maybe I shouldn't have taken that on, but now when you see the fruits of the labor, it's like, man, I'm glad I came to Little Rock.
Well, I mean, it's both. I did a interview with someone a couple weeks ago, and I think I said something to this effect of, like, I look at all the things that have happened in my life, and you probably heard me say it, like, God is good, even when we're really bad, even when, you know, no matter what the situation, I've just felt God has been really good in this scenario. And I look at, you know, I go all the way back to being a kid and the people that impacted me and my coaches. And then I look at my football coaches in high school and some of the things that I took from them, and then my path, like, you know, candidly, like, when I was young, I didn't lose.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a kid, I never lost. And I got to high school and I lost in the state finals twice, and you know, only won one state title, I lost in the finals three times, and I only took one state title, and that was, like, you know, that was pretty devastating for me. And then I go to Oklahoma State, and, you know, I fall short in the placing round, which is top 12. And, you know, most sports, when you're top 12, like, that's a big stinking deal. Well, I mean, it is a big deal, but to lose, to be an All-American, was pretty devastating for me for a long time. Not just for that weekend, for that week, for that month. Like, you're talking not being able to go to sleep at night for a long time. Mm-hmm. Like, it was really hard. And it was really hard for me to come to terms with. And then, you know, I wasn't going to coach. I was going to go home. My dad owned car dealerships, and I was going to sell cars. And
really?
You know, that's what I was going to do.
Wow.
And coach grabbed me and was like, I think you'd be a good coach. You know, do you want to stay and train and try to, you know, make the Olympics? And I had a couple surgeries after my senior year, and I was like, I'll just coach. And so I spent 2 years there, and it was just all about winning. Like, that's all I cared about. And then I coached high school, and I really found my purpose. I really found, you know, vision, and it was through the athletes and watching them accomplish their goals and not wanting to feel what I felt in that moment where I didn't accomplish my dreams, where, you know, in my mind today, like I didn't even come close to accomplishing what I believed I was capable of, you know? And so, you know, through those experiences, and then going to North Carolina and stepping out, you know, taking my wife and my kids, going across the country. And at the time we had the lowest budget in the ACC, like Duke didn't even have scholarships and they still had more than we did when we got to Carolina. And it was just a culmination of all those events. I was able to take a step back this year and be like, oh my gosh, like, holy smokes. I can't even, you know, we don't have enough time on this podcast to tell you all the stories and all the moments that God just kind of put me in the right place.
Yeah.
Even when I fought him, I told the head coach at Carolina no 7 times as a high school coach to go. It would be like a football coach at Arkansas saying, hey, I want you to come be my offensive coordinator. Like, yeah. Like, you'd be crazy not to take it, right? And, you know, I said no 7 times. And on the 8th time, some really cool moments happened. And I was like, this is what we have to do.
It's kind of where you've been led to go.
100%. Like, you don't have a choice. You need to go here.
Yeah.
And you don't want to buck the system here. And so we went, you know. And candidly, I took a pay cut. And it was a terrible financial decision. And we had some really hard times in that first year and a half. But my family grew together. We grew strong. You know, we came to know who we were as people more, and you know, who and what we stood for. And so, to answer your, so the long story is, yeah, there's a lot there. The short story is, I'm unbelievably grateful to even be in this position, and I want to keep that perspective moving forward. Is that everything that happened in my life has come to this point to help me be successful right here, and that's incredible.
You won the Big 12 championship in 2011. What's a greater accomplishment for you, winning it or having your program ranked where it is in the country right now?
I would think that doing what we've done here is the greatest accomplishment for me that I've done, besides lead my kids to Christ and, you know, raise a family. But, you know, you're known by the fruit that you produce. And once I was able to learn that perspective, this is going to be the greatest accomplishment that I'll ever have. And there's still tons more to come. But when it comes to outside of my faith, I'm not sure I could state something that I'm more proud of.
Let's talk a little golf. When did you first pick up a golf club? Do you remember?
That's hilarious. a wrestler playing golf, they just don't go hand in hand, right?
Right. Well, they don't seem like they go hand in hand.
That's correct. So I remember I was probably like 17, and my uncle came to town, and he's like, we're going to go play this 9-hole course. And I went, and I played one hole, and I walked off, and I was like, I'll never play this game again. I was like, this is way too hard. And I'm good at everything, and I can't hit this ball 10 yards. You know?
yeah.
But I kind of became serious about it when I came to Little Rock. And you know, unintentionally. It was not on purpose. It just seems like a lot of people play golf here. And I was like, all right, well, I need to learn how to do this if I'm going to be able to engage with people. And so, you know, I started playing some tournaments. I played the Sports Hall of Fame with Greg, and I played the State Police Tournament. And, you know, I kind of was just playing a few times a year. And then my son, who's 11, started playing golf last year. And so I was like, all right, dude, if we're going to do this, like, we're going to go all in. I'm going to do it with you. And we started taking lessons. We started playing 9 holes all the time. And now I really enjoy it, and I understand it. And I realize it takes a lot of skill and a lot of talent.
A lot of time.
A lot of time.
Because you have to practice.
You have to practice. Like, I haven't played in probably 2 or 3 months, and I'm nervous the next time I go swing a golf, if I remember anything.
Yeah. Did you watch it growing up at all?
I saw it, but outside of Tiger Woods, you know, I mean, it's much like basketball for me. I watched basketball because of Michael Jordan, right? Growing up, like, I was a little kid. I remember all the games, the game-winning shots. I watched golf because of Tiger Woods, and that was really my introduction. And then, you know, guys like John Daly, like, that are just, like, cool, iconic figures that are cool in their own way that you paid attention to. That was really the extent of my golf. It was never a serious thing until my son started playing.
So when you say you've started taking some lessons along with your son, where do you go?
Well, we live in Maumelle, so we go to the Maumelle Country Club.
Okay.
And there's a great instructor there, and he's been really great, you know, taught me a lot. And he, you know, my son is very opposite of me. So, like, I'm out there and I'm intense, and the more intense you are, the worse it gets. And my son's just crushing him. And he's like, just relax, man. Like, this is supposed to be a fun game. You know, just kind of stop trying to hit it so hard, you know. And I did, and I started to figure it out a little bit.
Now, can your son beat you?
I mean, unfortunately, yes. It was really, really? Impressive what he did. And I don't know if he'll be a golfer, but he played golf last year. And, you know, kind of how they measure their scores is different. They might start in the middle of the fairway, but they still got five shots. And he was shooting 190, and he finished, you know, the end of the year. And I think his best shot was a 69. And I was like, holy smokes,
that's
you're
good.
11. That's really good.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, what do you hope for him? Is the future with the game in him?
I hope that, regardless of what it is, because wrestling doesn't seem to be his thing. He's not playing wrestling, or he's not. You don't play wrestling. He's not wrestling. He's playing golf. He's playing basketball. I hope that he just learns the value of setting goals, working hard. Understand that if you just work hard, you're going to be better than probably 85-90% of people. And you're going to find success. Mm-hmm. And I want him to work for something. I want him to strive. I want him to struggle and come out the other end.
When I look at you, and I'm looking at your hands right now, and when you hold them open, I mean, this thumb like goes all the way back, and this pinky finger down here, I can tell it's been broken a time or two. That's got to kind of mess with your golf swing and your grip. Doesn't it?
Yeah, a little bit, but you know, what was that movie with the kid pitcher when he falls on his shoulder and all of a sudden he can throw 95 and he's thrown in the MLB? And,
yeah. Was that? I'd have to go back and look to find it.
But I just kind of have figured out, you know, like I've had shoulder surgery on one shoulder and I need it on the other, and I need knee surgery, and so I just kind of figured out how my body works, and I feel. And I stick to where my feels are. And
but see, that's the form. That's an athlete. When you can play it by feel, I mean, that's an athlete coming out in you, isn't it?
I mean, I guess I'll say yes, but
it has to be.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely has to be. I mean, you can't just feel your way through anything and not be somewhat athletic. So yeah, you're correct.
When you look at the game, would you play as often as you can?
I'm hooked. Like,
yeah.
I have to tell myself no. I think if I was getting paid like a football coach, I'd probably play a lot more. I think financially I can't afford to play as much as I want. I think there's times where I'm like, I want to go for this. I'm like, I could be good at this. But then the reality is I'm a coach. I don't have time to go play this full time. So I'd love to. I'd love to play probably four times a week minimum would be what I want to play if I could.
Yeah, I mean, I get that it's hard. You have to worry about your time management. I mean, when you're a coach of a Division I wrestling program, the fact that you have to worry about all of those guys around you and stuff, it's kind of hard to kind of take a break and then get out there and go play golf. But when you're out there, Neil, is it a chance for you to kind of like clear your mind of everything else that's going on in your world?
I think it's more it feeds my competitive fire. Like, this is something, and again, I don't mean this arrogantly, but I was pretty good about everything I did. You know, I mean, I started all 4 years in football both ways, and I had some football offers, and you know, I had to give up soccer because it was during football season. But you know, I played at a very high level soccer. You know, playing in national championships and as a kid growing up, and I gave up baseball because I had all these other sports that I was good at, and I never did something was not good at it. And so I think golf is a challenge. I think it's something that is like, I want to say that I can do this really well. And I want to line up when I go to the Sports Hall of Fame, and I want to beat everybody in my group. I'm not trying to do good for the group. I mean, I am, but like, I want to be the best golfer every time.
You want to use your shot as many times as possible.
I want to use my shot every time.
Yeah.
That's my goal, which I know is completely unrealistic for me, but it's also a challenge, and so it's something competitive. I like to compete. My guys, if they go play pickup basketball and I find out, like, I show up. Like, I don't want to miss out on that competition. I just love that part of it, and I think that's why I like doing it.
Are any of your wrestlers, do they also play golf?
A lot of them. It's kind of a cool thing that's happened the last couple of years.
Yeah.
And they're pretty stinking good. Like, so, you know, some of them, I'm like, holy smokes. I went and played with them one day, and I looked bad, right? So, yeah, it's a cool thing that they've kind of gotten into.
And you guys put on a golf tournament that benefits the wrestling program every year, don't you?
Every year. It's our biggest fundraiser of the year, and a big reason why I started playing more, too, because I'm at this tournament. I'm like, if I ever have to play with, you know, some people who are going to support us, I can't look like a fool. And so we're very grateful for it. We do it at Pleasant Valley Country Club, third Monday of May every year. Mm-hmm. And it's a very fruitful event for us.
Yeah, it's a perfect time of the year, too. I mean, when that golf course is just starting to really pop out there. It's a tough golf course, too, but I think it's a lot of fun. And when you have scrambles like that and you get to interact with donors to the program, what's that like going out there and talking with them and being with them on the course?
Well, I mean, you learn a lot about yourself. You learn a lot about what you're willing to compromise and not compromise. There's a lot of things said on a golf course that you gotta do the right thing. And so I think I noticed that kind of quick. I also noticed that people take this game pretty seriously, so you can't be bad. Like, they'll be kind because you're a Division I head coach, but you can't be bad at this game and go out there and do business.
Do you wish you would have picked up the game a little more serious earlier in your life?
100%. That's why I'm so excited about my son doing it, because if he's ever in a situation where he's, you know, got a business deal and they're going to go play a round of golf, he at least knows the rules and knows, you know, what cart path only means. You know, I had no idea. So he can at least go and participate and be a valuable member and, you know, have good conversations and make some deals.
Those are life lessons that he's learning at a very young age.
100%. Just, it's like, he doesn't and this is the hard part about being a coach, that, like, I coach the kids club because my middle son wrestles, and it's like, I don't even talk to him because I'm like, I will be that over-the-top parent. And so I don't want to be over-the-top, but I do look at my kids and go, the opportunity that you have is above and beyond in athletics and anything you need. You know, I know that if my son wants to be a pitcher, I can call Coach Curry and probably get him to work with Jackson Wells, right? Mm-hmm. And if I want him to be, you know, learn from one of the Smith brothers on the golf team, like, I know I could probably make that happen. And so I just hope he sees this and says, this is more valuable than anything I could even imagine.
Little Rock Wrestling, is the sky the limit for it?
Well, I think that given most programs can't do what we've done because they already have a history, right? And we're writing history every single day. Everything we do is we're writing history for the first time. And so that gives us a unique niche. So I really believe that the sky is the limit. I think we got to do some things resource-wise to keep us in that conversation, and we're working on those things to compete. But, yeah, I mean, what we're doing has been special, and it's only been 5 years, and we're just now getting some traction and momentum. So now's the time we got to push really hard so that we can, you know, make the sky the limit.
Does it seem like 5 years?
I think if you look at it from the perspective of how long it took us to win, it seemed like an eternity. But then you look back and you're like, 2 years ago, we only won two duels. Or we only won one duel. And it was like, that happened really fast.
Yeah.
Like, where did this come from? But we felt it. We knew it. So I would say it's a little bit of A, a little bit of B. Certain aspects, it was like overnight. The other aspects, it was like, is this ever going to happen? Like, you know, what are we doing wrong? There was a lot of those conversations.
Biggest win in program history for Little Rock Wrestling, what was it?
I think it's beating a ranked team. You know, there was two duels at the beginning of the year. We wrestled Drexel and Clarion, and you're talking about being in the heart of wrestling country. You're talking about two teams full with PA state champions that probably had the number one and number two guy in their bracket, and they took third, right? And you're talking number one and number two in the country, not in the state, mm-hmm. right? So you got some really tough kids that you don't just walk in and you don't just beat those guys. It's not that simple. It's not that easy. And we went up there, and respectfully, we dominated them. And I was like, holy smokes, we're different, right? And at that point, I think it opened our eyes. We've never wrestled teams of that caliber, and we've been close, but we've never beat them, and we've never beat them by a lot and definitively. I think that was the catapult, but I think the moment that we beat a ranked team, it was like, this is what we're supposed to be doing. We don't need to be nervous about what, like, we've been in this situation for 4 years. We got to start winning sometime. And I think that gave them the freedom to be who they were on the mat, to score a lot of points. That weight lifted off of that pressure.
Best part of your golf game, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that you hit the ball pretty far.
I don't.
What?
I
look at these arms, man.
I do hit it pretty good when I do hit it right.
You just don't know where it's going sometimes?
I don't know
it?
Where it's going most of the time.
Oh, okay.
Where I've had my best feel has been probably in my irons.
Okay.
I like hitting it 100, 125 yards out, 75 yards out. I've gotten a lot of good feels right there. I've recently started to figure out my driver, and that's fun. Like, when I watch that ball go, and, like, I played a golf tournament. I went back, and I was a celebrity golfer at my at OSU for their golf game, and I outdrove on, like, five of the holes. And I was like, I've never outdrove anybody, let alone five times in a row. And it was just really cool to feel. So,
yeah.
I'm getting there with that.
Okay. Best golf course you've ever played?
Oh, so really cool story. I don't know all the names, but when I was at Carolina, we had a donor. He was awesome. He would just call us up and be like, you guys, what day's off this week? We'd be like, we don't have practice Wednesday. And he's like, all right, get all your office work done. He had a goal. He was going to play all top 100 courses in the country. And so he would take us, and we would drive or we would fly that day, and we'd go play a top 100 course. So I probably played 15 top 100 courses.
Are you serious?
No, I'm dead serious. It was awesome.
You're kidding me.
It was really
cool. So like Pinehurst, Pine Valley.
Those types of places were just what we did.
Marion.
Right? Like I at the time, again, I didn't know anything that I know now. I don't even remember half the names because I was just like, I don't belong here. I don't know why this guy's taking me to play golf at top 100 courses, but I was taking advantage of it, you know?
Of course.
And so I really need to go back and look at the list of some of the courses that we went and played in North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, you know. And we never went down to Florida or anything, but
okay.
Like he would take us a lot of cool places.
But still right around there. I mean, there's some great golf in that area. Pinehurst. I mean, yeah. Pinehurst number two.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just so good. All right, fantasy foursome, Neil, living or deceased, you and three other guys or gals that you would like to play a round of golf with.
You're going to have to help me. So, I mean, obviously Tiger's up there. John Daly, just because he's John Daly, like, why would you not want to play with that guy?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't drink, but I want to hang out with him.
Yeah.
Right? You know, I actually really like Scheffler. I think he's a great human being.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, obviously from the Full Swing, you know, documentary. And then, you know, a guy like Jack Nicklaus probably would be really cool.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. I'd like to hit, you know, and you get a good variety. You're not getting like four of the same people. You know, you're getting Tiger, who's like, he's a winner, man. Like you want to be like Tiger. He's a champ. Like, and he hit shots to win that were incredible. And, you know, the other guys did. You know, John Daly's a wild man. Jack Nicklaus can tell you stories about what golf used to be like. And then, you know, Scotty he's just a great human being is what it seems like, and that's the type of person I want to be around.
Neil, best of luck with everything at the NCAA Championships, and glad to have you in Little Rock.
Man, I'm glad to be here. Me and my family really love it here, and we look forward to hopefully a long time here.
Heading to El Dorado to check out some live music or to play Mystic Creek? Stay at the Haywood, the only boutique hotel in the middle of downtown and the Murphy Arts District. If you are spending a weekend in Hot Springs, make plans now at the Marriott Courtyard close to Lake Hamilton and Oaklawn. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group manages both of these fine properties, and you will rest easy knowing that your every need is taken care of. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels on the web at bphotels.com.
I want to send a quick shout out to Miss Linda at Tavern on the Green there at Chenal Country Club. I saw her recently when I was out there playing. Also want to thank all of you for listening. She told me Tyler Wilson was her favorite guest on From the Shortgrass. Who is yours? Send us an email, fromtheshortgrass@gmail.com. Remember, when you find your ball mark on the green, fix it and a couple of more. And I hope to see you sometime soon from the Shortgrass.
You've been listening to From the Shortgrass, a weekly podcast dedicated to the game of golf. This has been a presentation of the Buzz Radio Network.